Welcome to Evening Under Lamplight, the show that invites you to attend. I'm Robert Louis Abrahamson, and this is Cambridge Community Radio, Cambridge 105. You can reach me at lamplight at cambridge105.fm, and you can listen to all the archived shows at momentsunderlamplight.com. Our theme this month is Letting Go. It's that time of the year, as we'll discuss a little later, but you can see right around you that it's letting go time. All those trees letting go of their leaves, always a treat each year. But let's start with a negative definition of letting go. Letting go means not to hold on. Let's relax and release. Let's not let hold fast grab us, or we'll be stuck in the wasteland where we've been all the time up to now. We don't want to be stuck in a place we don't want to be, and spend our time wishing we had let go and gone. We don't want to look back and wish we had taken the lighter path of letting go, or as Dr. Hook puts it, we don't want to wish we had just come and gone. And that's what our first song laments. The guy is sorry he has stayed around with the woman. If I'd only come and gone, he says. See, that's a pun, a double entendre. Slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, I'm off. But the song is more than just a slick guy's elbow-nudging joke. For one thing, it's a Shel Silverstein song, which tells us that we're to expect ribaldry, yes, and even bad taste, but also a poignant shock of emotion waiting to hit us. The song is part of a little drama. This guy came back to her place one night, and instead of just being the cool dude in the morning and taking off as he usually did, he got caught in the pleasure of her company and stayed the day and then the night. He stayed, and she fell in love with him, but he, restless cowboy, still had that wandering streak in him. It will hurt her even more if he lets go and leaves now than it would have hurt if that first night he had only come and gone. Is he speaking out loud to her or just to himself? If I'd only come and gone the way I've always done with summer girls before, shared one night with you and never reached for more, then we wouldn't face this long and painful righting of the wrong if I'd just come and gone. If I hadn't stayed so long and merely parked my dusty boots outside your door, tracked no footprints cross your polished hardwood floor. And here comes one of those sweet, poignant lines that keep popping up in Shel Silverstein's songs. If I'd have left you in your doorway smiling drowsily at the dawn, if I'd just come and gone, then I'd be on a shining silver plane dipping into Denver, or a schooner blowing down the Biscayne Bay. You'd be safely tucked away among the pleasures I'd remember, instead of lying here beside me, fearing restless thoughts inside me that might awaken with the breaking of each new day. If you'd only stopped to read cold, hard words I carved on other bedroom walls and heard the morning coffee truths I told 'em all, I'd still be on your lips like some unfinished, half-remembered song. You'd never have loved me if I'd just come and gone. But now listen to the words when performed with the serious, playful energy of Dr. Hook, with this hard-hitting, almost goofy opening.
If I'd just come and gone, if I hadn't stayed so long, I nearly parked my dusty boots outside your door, tracked no footprints
just crossed your polished hardwood floor. I'd have left you in your doorway, smiling drowsy at the door. If I'd just come and go. Restless thoughts inside me that might awaken with the breaking of his new day. If you'd only stop to read cold hot words I carved on other bedroom walls and heard the morning call for truths I told them all, I'd still be on your lips like some unfinished half-remembered song. You'd never have loved me if I'd just come and go.
I suppose in the end, this is the song of one of those men who keeps hurting others and never living up to the standards he or someone else has set for himself, and who therefore, like Cinderella, thinks he belongs in the ashes. He thinks he's not worthy of love. He always has this itch to get going. You'd never have loved me, he said, if I'd just come and gone. That's saying, I'm not worth anyone's love. That's why I keep leaving them all. I'm here with you, and your love makes me very restless. He thinks he wants to go, but actually he wants to hold on to his old ways. If he let go, he would paradoxically stay with her and see how responding to her love might transform and mature him. Let him go on that better journey deep inside himself. Now, I hope this is not going to be too silly a shift, but what that cowboy needs to do is attend Gobo's School of Exploring with its motto, if you got what it takes to grow, you got to take what you got and go. And if you got what it takes and you take what you got and get going, Well, I told you once and I don't want to tell you twice. I got a heart full of fire, got a head full of good advice. You know, the world's gone full of goddarn fools trying to run your life with gosh darn rules. If you got what it takes to grow, you gotta take what you got and go. And if you got what it takes, then you take what you got and get going.
There's a story going round about a hero of history. Well, I guess I better tell you that the hero of the story is me. And if you wanna understand all the hullabaloo, then it's time that you heard what I'm saying to you. If you got what it takes to grow, you gotta take what you got and go. And if you got what it takes, then you take what you got and get going. Well, I told you once and I don't wanna tell you twice. I got a heart full of fire, got a head full of good advice. You know the world's plumb full of goddamn fools trying to run your life with a gosh darn. If you got what it takes to grow, you gotta take what you got and go. And if you got what it takes, then you take what you got and get going.
Load 'em up for Gobo's School of Exploring.
So if you wanna get ahead, get a load of what I'm telling you. Don't you listen to the lies that the world keeps telling you. But don't hang around with all of them fools. Come and get a gander at the golden rules. And if you got what it takes to grow, you better take what you got and go. And if you got what it takes, then take what you got and get going. I get going. get going.
Get going. And that, it seems, is what it's all about. Another Fraggle Rock song by Philip Balsam and Dennis Lee, here on Evening Under Lamplight, from the episode Gobo's School for Explorers. The song was called Get Going. Maybe you guessed that already. Well, I promised a few minutes ago that we'd discuss the larger meaning of this season of letting go, and it's time for that now. To begin with, let's listen to the autumn meditation from my CD Journey Through the Seasons. We'll hear readings from the Ecclesiastes poet and lines from The Tempest and King Lear and from the Book of Matthew, Shakespeare's Sonnet 73, and a bit from Shelley's Ode on the West Wind. The music is by Neil Henry.
Autumn. In the midst of our journey into deeper life, we find ourselves now at the time of cleansing, purification, the time when we lose everything that is not essential, as we prepare to enter the darkness of our true selves. This is the time of autumn, the time of dryness, when leaves fall from the trees, hedges turn brown, stubble in the fields is plowed under. This is a melancholy season of loss, as the afternoons grow darker and daylight diminishes and the summer warmth fades to a dim memory. It is the time of growing old. We are in the autumn of our lives when we lose our hair and our teeth. Our senses grow dull, our vigor wanes. It is time to start thinking about death. Every third thought shall be my grave. We have not chosen to take this journey. The journey calls us, or God calls us. I have a journey, sir, shortly to go. My master calls me, I must not say no. No more pretense. We must cut away so only our essential selves remain. The weight of this sad time we must obey. Speak what we feel, not what we ought to say. We cast off all vain things to prepare for the time of emptiness when the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. The element associated with this season is metal. Cold, hard, unrelenting, like the biting wind cutting through our clothes and stinging our face. Here is the axe, pruning dead wood, cutting away what is not essential. This is the season of Advent, the time of year for meditating on the one who comes as the axe to cut back the old and no longer useful parts. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. The organ associated with autumn is the lungs, enacting the seasonal loss on a small scale. Every time we breathe out, each exhaling a mini death, expiring, exhausted, used up, empty, but only temporary, only part of a cycle of in and out, dying and being reborn, like the larger cycle of the seasons. The negative emotion associated with this stage of the journey is sadness, or grief, especially grief over things lost. The loss of leaves falling from the trees, the departure of friends and lovers, and most of all, the passing of time. That time of year thou mayst in me behold, when yellow leaves, or none, or few, do hang upon those boughs which shake against the cold, bare ruined choirs, where late the sweet birds sang. In me thou seest the twilight of such day as after sunset fadeth in the west, which by and by black night doth take away, death's second self that seals up all in rest. In me thou seest the glowing of such fire that on the ashes of his youth doth lie, as the deathbed whereon it must expire, consumed with that which it was nourished by. This thou perceivest, which makes thy love more strong, to love that well which thou must leave ere long. If we face grief long enough, we may reach to the positive emotion for this season, courage. The courage to keep moving on our journey despite loss and grief, and the courage to surrender, to let go. Dust and ashes, we hold them up in our open palm and let the wind take them away. Let them go. We can be willing even to let go our own identity and become an instrument played on by the wind, letting go, completely abandoned to the forces of nature working upon us, transformed into a melodious, though sad, wind chime. Or we become a harp or lyre, our strings vibrating like the trees swaying and rustling in the wind. Make me thy lyre, we ask of the strong autumn west wind. Make me thy lyre, even as the forest is. What if my leaves are falling like its own? The tumult of thy mighty harmonies will take from both a deep autumnal tone, sweet though in sadness. Once we embrace this loss at whatever level, the sadness becomes sweet, even though it leads us to winter and death. We know, if winter comes, can spring be far behind?
Usually when I've played a meditation from Journey Through the Seasons, I've just referred you to the website www.journeythroughtheseasons.com or to the link on the momentsunderlamplight.com page, and then we've moved on. But this evening, under lamplight, I want to spend some time thinking about some of the ideas and images from that meditation. I invite you to come attend to these things with me. I speak in the meditation of the autumn being the time of cleansing, purification, the time when we lose everything that is not essential as we prepare to enter the darkness of our true selves. We are literally about to enter the darkness of the winter season, with the early dusks and lamps being lit halfway through the afternoon. But we also, on the mythic level, can let go of our ego control and let ourselves slip into that inner darkness, where we will meet and, let's hope, integrate with that larger component of ourselves. In Shakespeare's Tempest, his final play, the play in which he let go of his stagecraft career, Prospero the magician breaks his staff and casts his books of spells into the sea. He lets go of all the skills he had in his prime and enters the next phase of his life where, he says, every third thought shall be my grave. The grave of his ego, we might say. We get rid of our tricks and let our true selves take over. The meditation also takes us to the ending of King Lear, an ending so heart-rending that Samuel Johnson could never endure to read again the last scenes of the play until, when editing Shakespeare, he had to go over them again. At the end, Cordelia, the witty and virtuous daughter of King Lear, has suddenly been killed, and Lear himself, newly returned to sanity, collapses in grief and dies on the stage. Kent, the pillar of loyal virtue throughout the play, is offered the kingship but refuses. He cannot stay in this wasteland. "I have a journey, sir, shortly to go. My master calls me. I must not say no." In some productions, he then goes off and kills himself in grief, but it need not be so extreme. Kent feels that autumn energy and is letting go, realizing that the grief is a calling for a new journey into darkness. He must not say no to this calling. And Edgar, the other virtuous hero, picks up the dead body of Lear and expresses the duty of this season. No more pretense. We must cut away so only our essential selves remain. The weight of this sad time we must obey. Speak what we feel, not what we ought to say. Some people have told me that they turned away from my CD at this point. Why am I being so morbid? All this talk about death and loss and grief. Well, isn't that a good place to begin? We all face grief and loss. We can either fight it or be with it and then let it go. Letting it go is not the same, of course, as pushing it away. There's a lightness to this letting go. On the night before I recorded the CD, I added this image to the script, which I think expresses well the lightness of touch, the courage to surrender. I said, "Dust and ashes. We hold them up in our open palm and let the wind take them away. We don't blow them away, notice. We just let them be taken away." There's an image of what Wordsworth called a wise passiveness. We consent to being passive and let something larger work upon us. This is what we do in meditation, for instance. A favorite image of this for the Romantic poets was the Aeolian harp, a stringed instrument that worked like a wind chime, producing music as the breeze played across its strings. The poet Shelley took this as his chief image for the way we can let go and open ourselves to the autumnal west wind. "Make me thy harp or lyre," he asks of the strong autumn west wind. "Make me thy lyre even as the forest is. What if my leaves are falling like its own? The tumult of thy mighty harmonies will take from both a deep autumnal tone, sweet though in sadness." And here's a little poem that I did not include in the meditation. I think it was a little too witty for the tone of that meditation. It's Elizabeth Bishop's famous poem, One Art, which celebrates the art of letting go, the art of losing. "The art of losing isn't hard to master. So many things seem filled with the intent to be lost that their loss is no disaster. Lose something every day. Accept the fluster of lost door keys, the hour badly spent. The art of losing isn't hard to master. Then practice losing farther, losing faster. Places and names and where it was you meant to travel, none of these will bring disaster. I lost my mother's watch, and look, my last or next to last of three loved houses went. The art of losing isn't hard to master. I lost two cities, lovely ones, and vaster some realms I owned, two rivers, a continent. I miss them, but it wasn't a disaster. Even losing you, the joking voice, a gesture I love, I shan't have lied. It's evident the art of losing's not too hard to master, though it may look like, write it, like disaster.
Was a fool with my money, and I lost every dime. Sun stopped shining, it rained all the time. Did set me back some, but I made it through. But I'll never get over losing you. Do you know how much you mean? Told you, 'cause it's true, I'd get over losing anything, but I'll never get over losing you. When you're young and there's time, you forget. Right now I don't have time enough, and I'll never get over losing you. I've been cold, I've been hungry, not for a while. I guess most of my dreams have come true. With it all, you're around me, no peace do I find, 'cause I never get over losing you. No, I'll never.
That was right, wasn't it? To follow Elizabeth Bishop's One Art with Randy Newman's Losing You. The two of them worked well together, I think. But let's pick up the pace a little with a playful Beatles song. When we let go, are we saying goodbye or hello?
You say-
Okay, that was the Beatles performing Hello, Goodbye. It seems a silly song until we begin to attend to it a little and notice the ways it plays around with the paradoxes of letting go. You say stop, and I say go, go, go. You say goodbye, and I say hello. You think I'm going away, but I'm really just coming closer. My letting go may seem like I'm going away, setting all things loose, but in fact, letting go turns out to be the only way that I can ever come closer. You say why, and I say I don't know. I've left the world of explanations behind and just let it be. The song is full of forward movement, as Beatles songs usually are, ready to go on to new things. And we, too, keep moving on to new things here on Evening Under Lamplight, the show that invites you to attend on Cambridge Community Radio, Cambridge 105, with me, Robert Louis Abrahamson, attending this evening under lamplight to ways of letting go. We've mostly been talking about letting ourselves go, releasing our hold on the wasteland we're stuck in, and allowing ourselves to move on into the journey waiting for us. Our reading from Stevenson, though, gives us a different image. I'll read a poem from A Child's Garden of Verses, Where Go the Boats, a favorite poem of many people, and indeed I can remember when I was 10 and we had to memorize a poem for class and then draw a picture illustrating it. Well, I chose this poem. Well, like many of the poems in A Child's Garden of Verses, this poem recreates the games the young Stevenson would play at his grandfather's manse in Colinton, just outside Edinburgh, with the dirty water of Leith running beside the garden. In his essay, The Manse, Stevenson tells us of a certain water door embowered in shrubbery that led from the garden to the river, which is there dammed back for the service of the flour mill just below, so that it lies deep and darkling, and the sand slopes into brown obscurity with a glint of gold. This, of course, becomes the dark brown river and golden sand of the first lines of the poem. The river, as in the poem, flows out past the mill and down through Edinburgh itself until it empties in the Firth of Forth. Not that far a journey, but it can feel like 100 miles or more to a little child. Down the river the child sails his little boats, possibly just sticks of wood that he pretends are boats. He lets them go. He says goodbye, but way down the river, other little children say hello and bring the boats to shore. A very simple poem, but I'm coming to value these Child's Garden of Verses poems more and more for their nuances of meaning, for the way they say so much more than their surface meaning. They give us images full of metaphoric or symbolic possibilities. So, here we let go and allow the journey to begin. But it is out of our control. The little boat our little ego set loose on its risky adventure takes its direction from the current. It literally goes with the flow. And at the end of the adventure, sure enough, it is not lost or wrecked. It comes ashore again, but other little children shall bring my boats ashore. I let go and move on, returning to land in a different place, as I am now different too. I have been brought to a place deeper and broader than I knew at the start. We don't know what happened to the boat on its journey. That's perhaps not our business. We just know that we let go at one end, and the boat came ashore at a different point. Where go the boats? Dark brown is the river. Golden is the sand, it flows along forever with trees on either hand. Green leaves a-floating, castles of the foam, boats of mine a-boating, where we'll all come home. On goes the river, and out past the mill, away down the valley, away down the hill, away down the river, 100 miles or more, other little children shall bring my boats ashore. And there you are. I let this poem go, I give it to you. Take it. Memorize it. Recite it to yourself during times when you don't know where you're going. You say why, and I say I don't know. We're just letting go down the river to the Firth of Forth. And this connection is a little fortuitous, since I next want to read the final lines from Walt Whitman's long passage to India, which begin by urging us to sail forth. We are to move from the river to the sea, letting go on a grander scale. You'll get the point, and we'll follow that reading with the Water Boys' This Is the Sea. That was the river, they sing, this is the sea. But first, this is Walt Whitman. Sail forth, steer for the deep waters only. Reckless, O soul, exploring, I with thee and thou with me. For we are bound where mariner has not yet dared to go, and we will risk the ship, ourselves, and all. O my brave soul, O farther, farther sail! O daring joy, but safe! Are they not all the seas of God? O farther, farther, farther sail!
And it's tearing you up inside.
trying to make sense of something that you just don't see. Trying to make sense now, and you know that you once held the key. But that was the river. But this is the sea.
This song is all about letting go, leaving the wasteland we are now in and venturing forth into freedom. These things you keep, you'd better throw them away. You want to turn your back on your soulless days. Once you were tethered and now you are free. That was the river. This is the sea. We know this is a genuine journey because we have lost control. We are at sea. Now I can see you are wavering as you try to decide. You've got a war in your head, and it's tearing you up inside. You're trying to make sense of something that you just don't see. Trying to make sense now, and you know you once held the key, but that was the river, and this is the sea. Now, there are lots of Dylan songs about letting go, but here's one that you don't hear too often and one we've never played before on Evening Under Lamplight, Going, Going, Gone, from the 1973 album Planet Waves. He knows it's time to let go, and he goes. I've just reached a place where the willow don't bend. There's not much more to be said. It's the top of the end. I'm going. I'm going. I'm gone. We can bear up as long as there is some flexibility, some room for movement, but if even the willow won't bend, well, it's time to go. And there's a certain callousness required about letting go. The dead must bury their dead, and the plowman cannot look back, but needs all his attention focused on the task at hand. I'm closing the book on the pages in the text, and I don't really care what happens next. I'm just going. I'm going. I'm gone. But the last verse is puzzling. He says, I've been walking the road. I've been living on the edge. Now I've just got to go before I get to the ledge. So I'm going. I'm just going. I'm gone. Here's Dylan's magic with rhymes. It's bad enough living on the edge, but it's worse when we actually come to the edge. So we'd better get going, but wait, which way are we going? Away from the edge, we hope, away from the ledge, but how do we know that? How do we do that? This is well, an edgy song all the way through, with the spooky guitar such as we almost never hear in other Dylan songs. See what I mean?
Just reached a place where the willow don't bend. There's not much more to be said. It's the top of the hill I'm going. I'm going. I'm closing the book on the pages and the text, and I don't really care. Ooh, what happened there? I'm just going. I'm going. I'm gone. Playing it straight. Now I've just got to cut loose before it gets late. So I'm going. I'm going. I'm gone. I've been walking the road, I've been living on the edge. Now I've just got to go before I get to the ledge. So I'm going. I'm just going. I'm gone.
Bob Dylan, going, going, gone. But now I have to make a little announcement. I don't say that I've come to the ledge here, but it has come time for me to be going, going, gone. It's time to let go of Evening Under Lamplight for a while and close out Series 2, which has been going on since July 2010. We'll do a Christmas special next month to close out the year, and I'll let you know then who will be coming in to take this slot on Cambridge 105. But meanwhile, the archived shows are always available at momentsunderlamplight.com, and I hope to keep posting there shorter Moments Under Lamplight, 10 or 15-minute talks on various subjects. So please join me, Robert Louis Abrahamson, on Facebook or the Moments Under Lamplight page on Facebook to keep abreast of the latest developments. In the old days of 1981, a show was either on the radio waves or off the air, but now these internet presences mean that you can keep in touch and I do not have to scramble around the dial like the poor guy in this Kinks song, searching for his favorite DJ. I don't know what real-life story, if any, lies behind this song, but it combines the usual Kinks elements of frustration, outrage, naivete, and caustic wit. And it's a real rocker, too.
By killing the project, you become a hero in the Muslim world.
Take you off the air. Was it something that you said to the corporation guys upstairs? It wasn't the pressure, you never sounded down. It couldn't be the ratings, you had the best in town. Somehow I'm gonna find you, track you down. Gonna keep on searching around and around and around and around. Was it something that you heard, or something that you saw, that made you lose your mind? Did you lose control? Did you step out of line? If you're there, give us a sign. I can't believe that you've been taken off the air. Think of some on radio now that you're not.
Okay, that was the Kinks' Around the Dial from the album Give the People What They Want. They wanted that DJ, it seems, but he was gone. We never find out why. Maybe he got too close to some ledge or other. But although we're not gone yet. come back on 16th December for the final show of the year, the final show of Series 2 of Evening Under Lamplight here on Cambridge 105 Community Radio in Cambridge with me, Robert Louis Abrahamson. And shall we then go out this evening under lamplight with the live in London version of Leonard Cohen's Closing Time. It's raucous, full of sensuous detail as they all let themselves go at the end of the evening. Let's ease on through the applause to give it a try.
And the band is really happening, and the Johnny Walker wisdom running high. And my very sweet companion, she's the angel of compassion. She's rubbing half the world against her thigh. And every drinker, every dancer lifts a happy face to thank her. The fiddler fiddles something so sublime. The women tear their blouses off, the men they dance in the polka dots. It's partner found and it's partner lost. Hell's a pay when the fiddler stops. It's closing time. Yeah, the women tear their blouses off, and the men they dance in the polka dots. It's partner found and it's partner lost. It's hell to pay when the fiddler stops. It's closing time. Oh, we're lonely, we're romantic, and the cider laced with acid, and the Holy Spirit's crying, where's the beef? And the moon is swimming naked, and the summer night is fragrant with a mighty expectation of relief. So we struggle and we stagger down the snakes and up the ladder to the tower where the blessed hours chime. And I swear it happened just like this, a sigh, a cry, a hungry kiss. The gates of love, they budge an inch. Can't say much has happened since, but closing time. Yeah, I swear it happened just like this, a sigh, a cry, a hungry kiss. The gates of love, they budge an inch. I can't say much has happened since.
Can't say much has happened since.
Can't say much has happened since, but closing time.